company had actually shut down its factory at a maquiladora in Mexico and moved to San Quentin.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now it's the cheapest market around, you know. But once again, who's doing this?
Do you have any idea how many California prisoners are involved in doing this work for corporations?
Well, the prison population stands at about 153,000 right here in California alone, with maybe another 80,000 on a leash in and out of the prison system. I would venture to say that you have a workforce of at least 20,000 to 30,000 prisoners that are engaged in some form of production for companies. We have some material that I think this, I don't know if I should mention the names over the radios, but some pretty well-known fashion designers have a lot of mercantile being made for them within the prison system. You know, a lot of fancy designer materials, new materials that are being invented and made, and chemicals, and where they don't really have to guarantee their workers a whole lot of safety safeguards or even worry about benefits. It's
talking dangerous chemicals here?
I think so, yeah. A lot of dangerous chemical, not only in that, but also in the microchip industry. There's a lot of microchip stuff going on, not only at Silicon Valley, but Silicon Valley contracts out to a lot of the prisons right there in the San Joaquin. We have a prison going up now every 6 to 8 months here in California. And you can bet that these prisons got an industry potential being set aside for, in fact, products to be made there. And it's like, you know, open to the first come, first serve to whatever public bidder wants to make a bid for cheap labor. It's there, and it's a growing market. And I foresee that the maquiladoras and all these other little cheap companies and some of these other low labor countries, I see them all kind of evaporating before long. It's not only here in California, but it's pretty much across the country. You know, telecommunications are big also in prison. They're establishing big, huge telecommunication giants.
Roxanne, maybe you could answer this question. Are women prisoners being exploited to a greater degree or a lesser degree than male prisoners? And are there corporations who have set up shop at Chowchilla and are employing large, I hate to use the word employing, but enslaving large numbers of women prisoners?
I'm not sure about how many women work for private industries, but yes, private industries is at Chowchilla. I know that one instance of a woman who refused to order around other prisoners for her boss ended up in the security housing unit because she told them no. And I know that they're getting paid anywhere from 3 cents to 16 cents an hour. And somebody else told me a different amount of money per hour, but it's not much more than that. And it's going on, pretty much, sure.
And are prisoners forced to do this work, or do they do it voluntarily, like to get out of their cells?
Well, you have classification committees inside prisons, and then the classification committee decides where you go and what you're going to do. So a lot of the times, I guess you could go in, or what happened used to happen, is that you could go in and request something, but I'm not sure that goes on now.
It's pretty much the same kind of forced incentives that for the last 20, 30 years, because when I was at San Quentin, let's say 20 years ago, and I was doing a couple of 5-to-life sentences, and they said, well, I guess you're going to have a job for a long time here, and, you know, and so they assigned me through classification committee to the furniture factory to sand chairs 8 hours a day. And I think I did it for almost a month, and they were paying me 1 cent an hour with an incentive of after 90 days I get 2 cents an hour if I stay with the job. And here I'm looking at a 5-to-life, so I'm going, well, my fingers are going to probably wear out by then, so I'm just not going to even get into this thing. So I left my job, and I went to the civilian boss, who called up the security squad, the goon squad, and they came, and I told them, hey, lock me up because I'm not ready for slave labor. And the comm boss looked at me like, he looked at me like, you know, he kind of admired me taking a stand, but at the same time, he wasn't in charge, and he just kind of passed me on to the goon squad. And I went and I did, I think, 10 days in the hole, and then I was assigned to unassigned and put on close custody row, and had to return to my cell every day at 2 o'clock until the next day at 7 o'clock in the morning. So that was my existence for the rest of the years that I was in prison. And with the incentive of if and when you go back to classification committee, you can appeal to them to get your job back if you want. So you're kind of like in a hard place with very few choices. So it's pretty much the same today where if you have any hopes of improving your situation and having the classification committees or parole board look on you favorably, you know, then you might want to consider holding down a job, but then it's a trap because once they get you in a job, then they don't ever want to let you go.
So then you have the choice of either pretty much going along with the work that these corporations provide for you, or you end up in
the security housing unit.
Yes.
If you refuse to work, you go to the security housing unit. That's what I've been told. And then I know that 115s, accumulated 115s, give you more time. And so it's just like a vicious cycle where you you get the 115s over and over again.
Now,
the time gets longer.
What's a 115?
It's a serious violation. So CDC writes them out, and they give them to prisoners, and they take away their time with them. They say, this is your infraction. We're taking away your time. This is what we think you've done. And they write out some kind of regulation in penal code to justify that, you know, taking away a year of their sentence. In other words, a year gets added on. They add time on with 115. So if
presumed or alleged infraction.
Yes, for anything, just anything. Like say if somebody complains that they don't have enough Kotex. If a woman says that they don't have enough Kotex, and the guards say to the woman, "Well, you had your allotted amount for the month." In other words, someone can dictate how long she can bleed. Then if she complains, she gets a 115, and they take away her time. So it's the same. It's the same system when the woman is working or the man is working. If you say I don't want to work anymore, they give you a 115 and they take away your time. That you get enough 115s, then you go to the security housing unit. A lot of times, when you refuse to work, you go to the security housing unit without even the 115, and then 90 days later, you get the 115. You know, and then you get an indeterminate shoe sentence because you've said something that they didn't like you to say. So they sent you there, and they tell you, this is when you're going to get out, 2,000 and whatever.
You would think that would be unconstitutional, that they could add on time to a sentence when it was a judge who sentenced them and gave them that amount of time.
Well, we see today that
it seemed to be that it would be unconstitutional for a prison administration to be have that authority.
Absolutely. It's unconstitutional, but we see... Well, kangaroo courts have been here for a long time, and kangaroo courts are military, administrative type tribunals within the prison system. It's a bunch of Gestapo sit at a table and rejudge your life for every 115, which was being talked about, which is your standard disciplinary report that is like a traffic ticket lodged against a prisoner, and you come before a kangaroo court. And they have your central file in front of them. They go through it, and they mention how bad you are. Oh, you don't want to cooperate. You're still in denial. You're still resisting us, are you? And all these other things. And they punish you, and they have more absolute punitive power than duly constituted superior courts in California, which are nothing nowadays. You know, the thing is that they contravene these kangaroo courts, prison crats, we call them. They contravene, they reject, they disown, or they just completely just subvert and reject outright a lot of the court sentencing of prisoners originally to prison. They prolong your time within prison. They can deny you going home in prison. They can give you more time. They can calculate your time any way they want to extend your time or add to your time or altogether deny that you know, you're ever going to be released. And a lot of times we see indefinite prison sentences being played out in prison where you really don't ever know if and when you're ever going to get out of the situation. You know, it's
kind of like you're left hanging there.
Just forever. Just left forever. Hanging. Just forever. So we have that kind of system,
they've
you know.
You and they've got a big incentive to keep you.
Exactly. They got a big incentive. What we hear guards saying, prisoners tell us this. The guard says, hey, come back as soon as you can, you know, because I need to keep my job.
Well, my understanding is that we're drawing to the end of our session here, and I wanted to mention a couple of things that are going to be happening in San Francisco and also that are available through our office. On December 13th, we're going to have an event at New College, 777 Valencia Street. Doors will open at 7, and the program will start at 8 o'clock. We're going to have some theater pieces by Keith Hennessy. We're going to have some artwork. We're going to have letters from prisoners describing what their life is like inside that will be circulated among people that attend this event. And we'll also be showing for the first time a videotape that shows both the maiming of prisoners and the death of five prisoners in the gladiator fights at Corcoran State Hospital. These are situations in which they were set up fights, and the fighting was videotaped, and then it is seen how the guards then shoot and kill or maim prisoners. We also have a book that came out just yesterday called The Survivor's Manual, which is written by prisoners who are in solitary confinement, most often in solitary confinement for years, with their description of how they reacted to solitary confinement and how they have managed to survive. And this book is available through California Prison Focus at 2489 Mission Street in San Francisco, 94110. And if you come by the office and pick it up, you can get it for $5. Or if you want us to mail it to you, it's $7, including shipping and handling. This is the first time that there's been a publication in which people have talked about what's going on in their lives in solitary confinement and how they deal with it.
Do you want to give a phone number for people to get in touch with California Prison Focus?
California Prison Focus is at 415-821-6545. 821-6545 here in San Francisco. We also want to mention the upcoming event that's being put on for clemency for Leonard Peltier, the heroic Native American AIM leader who has been in prison for over 25 years. And the event will be taking place November the 16th, which is a Sunday, November the 16th, at Mission High School in San Francisco, which is on 18th and Dolores. Mission High School, November 16th. Starting at 6 o'clock p.m.
And if I'm not
It's 2 to 6.
I think it's 2 to 6.
Two to six p.m. Yeah.
And also, there are going to be some very distinguished speakers: Ramsey Clark.
Ramsey Clark, the former Attorney General of the United States; Dennis Banks, also an AIM leader. There will be John Trudell, who's a very famous Native American, a singer, poet, and activist, and Bear Lincoln, who was recently freed from custody after a big trial in Ukiah, where he was accused of having killed a police officer, and he'll be attending and speaking about his experience during that recent trial in which he was found not guilty by, I think, an all-white jury. So it'll be an incredibly good event. And once again, people can call us at 415-821-6545 here in San Francisco.
Well, I want to thank all of you for dropping by today. Luis Talamantes, Roxanne Holbrook, and Sharon. Thanks all of you for being with us here today on San Francisco Liberation Radio.